I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
See, Chris, this is what I'm talking about. Chris listens to the program. This used to be the joint right here. Come on, Mike. You talked about it. You want the Rams to justify your love.
That's right, baby. This song, I played this song on the radio. This is a good jam right here, man.
Oh, man. Come on now. Just that beat right there.
Back when Madonna was sexy.
Well, stop it. It's Dukes and Bell. We alive at
Twin Peaks. Madonna looks like my Aunt Rhoda with like 17 surgeries.
Well,
at this
how old
point,
is she
man?
Now?
I don't know, man.
What? I mean, at this point, she's in her prime, right?
When this came out,
Justify My Love?
Yeah, no, this was good stuff. Yes. This is early 90s Madonna when she was stooping Warren Beatty. This is the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Or Dennis or whoever it was at that center time.
Spin the wheel.
We are going to talk about the Dogs coming up with Seth Emerson. He had some interesting things to say, guys. This week, by the way, has been a crazy week for the Dogs because you found out about all the guys that were going to potentially transfer out. We talked about Lane Kiffin showing up in Athens yesterday, allegedly, you know, wanting to talk to JT and Burton and company. And listen, we don't know if those guys are going to make that move to Ole Miss or not. Right. It's not a bad idea, by the way, the way Lane Kiffin's offense works. But all the guys that are transferring out, who's staying, and Seth Emerson helped us really break all of that down on top of the fact that he talked about Stetson Bennett, Mike, and you know, I never would have thought after winning a national championship that a quarterback who decides to come back would have been such a hot-button issue for a lot of Dog fans this week. It's been really interesting to me to see the dynamic of that. Now, again, I'm not speaking for all Dog fans because I think most sensible Dog fans understand this guy gives us the best chance to win coming back next year, and if we want to get back to where we just were and be national champs multiple times, we have a chance to do that with Stetson Bennett. But, Mike, it was interesting. I mean, this whole week has been about that.
Well, I just, when I argued with some listeners on Twitter, I said, you know, you'd think Stetson Bennett was Matt Ryan. And what I meant by that was the way people abuse Matt Ryan and criticize Matt Ryan. Stetson Bennett, guys, whatever you thought about the SEC championship game, and we broke it down, the defense let you down. You had a 10-0 lead, and then you put him in a position where, you know, Alabama pinned their ears back, and that's all she wrote. And a lot of quarterbacks. Look at Bryce Young. Bryce Young became one-dimensional in that Alabama in the national championship game. That's a Heisman Trophy winner. So here's a guy that Kirby has complete confidence in. It's not like this guy, you know, can't make the throws. Like guys say, he's a noodle arm or something. This guy can get the football to any quadrant on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, and show me, prove me he can't. So, guys, if Brock Vandegrift, I mean, it truly is the most popular guy in Georgia is always the backup quarterback. Remember you and I did the whole chronology of, you know, Jacob Eason, Mark Richard Briggs from time. Screw Eason. He ain't one of us.
Justin Fields.
Fields is dynamic.
Right.
Look, and I get it. There's the alumni. There's the sidewalk alumni. In other words, the people who just root for the team. And you want to have, we want to see a superstar. But Kirby just won it with fantastic defense. Now the people go, I love these guys on social media. Well, now he's going to have to win it himself. They're going to be okay.
Yeah,
Georgia's going to be okay.
They'll be fine.
Don't get the pushback.
By the way, now I will say this, and we'll have to wait to see, but with the trust level being what it is, doesn't Todd Monken open up the offense a little bit more? Now, some people are going to say, well, that's why Burton's such a big deal. I don't want to be this guy, but if Kirby's recruiting all these other guys and these positions at such a high level, I'm not worried about the wide receiver position. They're going to be okay. I think you're going to bring in guys, some top-notch guys. You talked about the portal situation, Mike. With all due respect, Burton was good, but Joe said it the other day. This guy wasn't even leading your team in catches.
No, look, Pickens was the guy that was so Pickens was like an appetizer. You're like, oh, I wish I could get this guy back for another year. But Pickens showed you.
I feel like I'm talking about professional athletes. I feel bad. I don't give a damn about professionals because these guys get paid millions of dollars. I feel bad when I'm saying he wasn't even the best guy on this team.
You could argue that thanks to name, image, likeness, we can no longer respect these kids as the
student athletes. That's true.
Right. But no, man, I mean, let's talk about Adonai Mitchell, right? There's a guy that's a playmaker. That guy, he checks the box. If Blaylock, and you'll hear our conversation with Seth Emerson coming up, what if Blaylock can stay healthy? You know, you just mentioned, and we'll ask Seth, you'll hear it. There's going to be a four-star or a former five-star who's going to transfer right into Georgia and is going to be going to a potential national championship or at least in the semifinal. But Georgia fans, I mean, it's like, how, after 41 years, can you break things down like this? You'd have thought we lost the game to Alabama.
I know. So we'll hear what Seth Emerson has to say coming up in less than 10 minutes about that whole ordeal. And as he said, I asked him about the defensive guys that are coming back, and Seth was like, well, I do cover the team, and it's sort of like what I expected. And, you know, I will say, I thought more guys made the decision to come back than I expected.
Right.
Which is good. That's fine. That's good news. All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw location. Seth on the way. Hawks back in action tonight, which gets us to the top three.
It's time for the top three at six.
Top three at six.
Now, let's see what we have here.
Someone said to us earlier in the show, Mike, Dukes and Bell, do you worry about this relationship with John Collins after being brutally honest on your show yesterday where he said, listen, it's not as if we're not like brothers. We're brothers in a different way, right. You know, but we compete together. We're cool. We work through stuff. I think it's a good working relationship. I'll be honest with you. I don't think there's any acrimony there because, Mike, they realize if they don't win together, something will change.
Right.
And if you're Trey, it doesn't always mean that, you know, even though we think Trey will be here for a long time and hopefully his whole career, it doesn't always mean that you don't take a step back. We've already known or seen what they can do together. So I don't think there's any issue there. I think John was just saying, hey, if you look at our relationship, just know that it's complex.
But if you go back to, what was it, last December, we mentioned this, they had the big team meeting. And I think it was about defining roles.
I do, too.
And it was also, look, I think at the time.
My team. No, it's not. It's my team.
I'm trying to get paid here. Can you give me the rock? You know what I mean? That probably came up. So, look, you don't have to be best buddies, but you respect each other. And I said it to Carl. I go, if you do have John on the floor when Trey's not, then that might be the time to work on something more than a pick and roll with John. You know, I mean, look, the guy, the only thing with John is I think I'd like a little more consistency with the jump shot.
Okay.
Is that fair?
I don't disagree. I mean, all these guys, for the most part.
I mean, if you're going to be the Al Horford type guy, which he kind of is, although I do love the way he plays defense grabbing boards the last couple of weeks, too.
I do, too. I think he's more aggressive than Al. I think, actually, he's probably a better rebounder than Al. And I'm not comparing Al now.
No, I'm just saying.
Al's just collecting checks.
We just mentioned
right
a big man who can pop out for the three.
Yes. But I don't have any problems with that. I think that's an area where a lot of guys need to improve. Let's hear JC's own words about his relationship with Trae Young.
It's a lot, you know what I mean? It's a lot to encompass. You know, we've been together for so long. You know, I feel like a lot of people just see our relationship on the court, you know, and see how well we play together and assume the best. And I feel like they have, you know, not the, we're not best friends, you know, by any standards, but, you know, we're friends, we're brothers in a different sense. We're, you know what I mean? It's a different sense of camaraderie and togetherness that we've had, you know, the battles, the, you know, growing as men, as young kids coming into this league. So, you know, I feel like me and him have seen a lot of the same things together and been able to grow through that. And as you guys know, when you've been put into situations, you know, put into the pressure cooker with certain people, you come out with different bonds and different relationships with those guys. So, you know, let it be the play on the court that shows you sort of the finished product, but it's a lot of hard work that goes into, you know, us knowing each other on and off the court and us building a relationship, you know what I mean? So, as I said, this league isn't easy, and, you know, we've had a lot of talks, and we've, you know, trying to just, you know, become better players and become better teammates with each other. So, you know what I mean? Ice is my guy, so we just got to keep it moving, keep it pushing, really.
Keep it moving. Keep it pushing. And that's what we need tonight. We need the Hawks to play well against the Heat. By the way, Heat 29-16, second in the Eastern Conference, guys. Tip-offs at 7:30, pre-games at 7, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike Conte will have the pre-half and post for you. And our buddy Steve Holman, bang, will have the call. Hawks, by the way, Heat are 8-1 against the rest of the division. Mm. And so this has been a team that's kind of had our number. But Trey's averaging about 28 a game right now, Mike. Also, all-star voting, guys. We haven't really mentioned it, but Trey's
vote
in
early,
the mix.
Vote often, vote Hawks. Yeah, I mean, you can vote for Clint. You can vote, obviously, for Trey. And then John Collins as well. Get him in there.
Yeah, so Trey's having a good year, obviously. 28 and about 10 assists. So Herter at 14 points in his last 10 games. Let's try to find a way to get another dub. Hey, Nate talked about the urgency, Mike. This has been my issue. You and Steve Coonan are on the same page. You both are like, it's not that big of a deal.
It's a long season, Carl. We're not even to the All-Star break.
Yes, it is. Nate talked about the urgency that helped him win against the T-Wolves.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we needed to see different energy and urgency in that third and fourth quarter, and we did. You know, our guys responded. I thought, again, we gave up 42 in the first quarter, and we gave up 49 in the entire second half. You know, so that's the difference with playing with urgency, you know, getting up and disrupting defensively and, you know, getting out and running offensively. And, you know, they responded to the challenge and was able to win this game.
Bunch of guys out of the lineup. Kyle Lowry, personal reasons. Tyler Hero, health and safety protocols. Markieff Morris, by the way, he hasn't been the same.
Nope.
Since Joker hit him in the back of the head that night.
No, right? No, seriously, you're right.
I mean, he is out for they call it competition reconditioning. So basically, he's not ready to play yet.
Thought we were going to have like West Side Story, right? The brothers are going to be brawling and all that stuff.
Well, you remember everybody was talking tough on social media. Right. Wait till I see you in the streets. So the NBA was like, yo, calm down. But they're without a lot of guys tonight, so we'll see how we fare against the Miami Heat. Hey, one of the topics of conversation for Atlanta United, guys, as we get to the top three stories of the day, NFL playoffs is one of them, and we've been talking about the playoffs all day. But Darren Eales, Mike, talking about Barco's status, and now it's rumored to be that Barco is gone from Atlanta United. Let's hear from Darren Eales first, and then we'll fill you in.
I don't want to get into specific transfer rumors. As you know, Ezekiel's not here for training at the moment. So again, I think, you know, the right time to speculate on that is if something happens. But, you know, what I will say is, you know, Ezekiel's been a fantastic professional. You know, I think we signed him at a very young age. We won the MLS Cup in his first season, two trophies the next two seasons. And I thought last season he was one of our key performers.
Again, that's Darren earlier in the week, and he's not obligated to be 100% truthful because, as we know, perhaps the negotiation, Carl, was still going on with River Plate. But our good buddy Felipe Cardenas from The Athletic,
I hate you.
He writes that River Plate are set to sign Ezekiel Barco from Atlanta. This is coming from a couple of journalists, multiple reports now down in Argentina that he's going down there. And then that would move Thiago Almeida to the Atlanta United. For those not familiar, Almeida is a tremendous talent. I've already shown you some of the videos. I'm showing you a lot of videos of Joseph Martinez, Barco, Ziggy. They all look at the guys.
Look at this guy. Oh, my God. Look at this guy.
And then I buy the jersey, and then they trade him, and I'm stuck with a jersey that I can't get rid of. I've got five Barco jerseys. Would you like one?
Well, but Chris, it looks like Christmas is coming early.
Chris, you better Chris, how's that jersey I got you, Chris? Is it fitting okay?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. We wore it to the game.
Nice. Well, you might have an extra one coming your way. Chris and I are both 2Xs, so it works perfectly. But anyway, Almeida, just for guys not familiar with United, a tremendous young talent, midfielding up here, back, and he's got skills, can win 1v1, all that stuff. He does have some legal entanglements down in South America.
What are you, Jada Pinkett right now? What do you mean?
Yeah, entanglements. Well, you could be Will Smith start crying.
What are you talking about?
Alleged sexual assault, and depending on who you're talking to, it's not a story. I reached out to Felipe Cardenas earlier today to ask him about, are we going to see Almeida? Felipe tells me, I think Almeida will be here in January. None of my sources have said otherwise. So some people have said it is a shakedown because he's an emerging star.
Meaning they simply did this to get some more money out of it.
Perhaps. Again, not knowing the story and not being able to read Spanish, which I should have took in high school. I don't really know. But either way, he would be the replacement for Barco. And as you and I said earlier,
a shakedown looks the same worldwide, Mike. There's usually a gun to somebody.
Well, that's an origin. You know,
I don't need to speak another language to see a shakedown.
Cristiano Ronaldo can speak to that. It's just in the old days, we called it blackmail. How about that, blackmail? But either way, we love Barco. Barco played healthy. He looked good. And now he's going to be going down to River Plate, one of the obviously the big teams in South America, down in Argentina and Uruguay and all that. Martinez will be healthy for the first time. That was something that also came up in Darren's conversation. I think we underestimate just how he – and you can see it on the field. He was not 100% at times, but Joseph now – a full year removed from that knee surgery should be 100%.
I hope so, man. I do. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. We got plenty of the playoff action right here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game Saturday. Just a reminder, we got the game Saturday 4:30, Titans Bengals. Then you have Packers San Francisco. That's the 8:15 game. And then Sunday, game started 3, Rams Bucks, and then Bills and Kansas City, all right here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game. We're coming back. Seth Emerson is going to talk about the Dogs, Stetson Bennett, and much more. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw.
The most important story of the day.
All right, man, let's talk about the Dogs. And Seth, it's good to have you back on the show. Incredible year ending with the national championship, the parade last week. We were in Athens. I know you were out there. It's just, you know, this feels good. But now everybody's ready to turn the page and say, okay, what's this team going to look like? Who's going? Who's staying? And there's no bigger news than Stetson Bennett. Where do you stand on this, Seth? You've heard and seen the reports and people, you know, who may be against this idea that Stetson comes back and this is not going to be an open competition. I think he gives the Dogs the best chance to win. Where do you sit when it comes to Stetson Bennett coming back?
I think I'm there with you at this point. I definitely see, well, I don't see the people who still don't appreciate what Stetson Bennett did. I think there's some people who are still discounting it and kind of trying to make up arguments like the defense carried them, really good running game and benefited from. Nah, I mean, Stetson Bennett was a key part of it. And like, as good as the defense was, he made those throws in the fourth quarter. Now, I see where some people are coming from where they say, all right, you've won the championship, the pressure is off. Wouldn't it be great to just kind of have a fresh start? Let's see what Brock Vandergrift can do for a year. And if he struggles, you got Gunnar Stockton. Or maybe what could JT Daniels do with a full healthy year if he can be healthy? I see that part of it. But Stetson Bennett earned the right to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to come back. And I think that this is what I wrote last night after the news came down. I think at this point, you kind of have to trust him at this point. I mean, he is Georgia's best option to win. Like, Brock Vandergrift is unproven. Gunnar Stockton's a true freshman. JT Daniels can't stay healthy. And for whatever reason, the coaches decided that they were going to ride with Stetson Bennett, even though they did everything they could for 2 years to avoid giving him the starting job. And finally, they just threw up their arms and said, never mind, we're in Stetson we trust. And I kind of think the rest of us should at this point, too.
I'm with you. I think we did the whole – we call it the roller coaster, you know, Seth, where you're like, nah, you need that five-star guy if George is ever going to get over the mountaintop. And, no, when he plays the way he plays, he can make all the throws. He's got the experience. I think it's great feather in the cap. Do you feel, though, I mean, is there any inkling that some of these guys and the recruit Knicks who lose their minds over this stuff, is Vandergrift going to jet? I mean, Carson Beck never – he got a shot and he kind of spit the bit. So what's that quarterback room going to look like?
We're waiting to see. I have not heard anything other than Brock Vandergrift plans to be there. I mean, I don't know that the calculus has changed for him. When he came in, he knew that JT Daniels was here. He didn't count on Stetson Bennett and having the extra year and all that. But if you're him, I think you're more affected if they were to go and get like a Caleb Williams or something like that, someone closer to him in age. Stetson Bennett absolutely is going into his final year of college at this point. If you're Brock Vandergrift, it's more like if Carson Beck turns or comes back and grabs the job, then that, you know, you're 1 year behind him. So that's kind of a Justin Fields, Jake Fromm thing where there's not enough separation in classes. But if, you know, it actually kind of sets up well. I mean, Carson Beck could still have something to say about this, and Georgia could always go to the portal. But if you have Stetson Bennett, 60-year senior, as a starter, and Brock Vandergrift as his backup, you've got two, I won't quite say dual threat guys, but they basically are. You know, they're similar in how they play. No one thinks about that, though, because Stetson Bennett is the walk-on and Brock Vandergrift is the five-star. But their skill sets are similar enough that this isn't like JT Daniels and Stetson Bennett, where you did some very different things with the offense when each of them was in there. So it could set up to be a pretty decent, like, mentor youngster kind of thing going on between Bennett and Vandegrift.
Seth Emerson, our guest, guys, we're talking about the Dogs, the news that broke yesterday that Stetson's coming back, but we also got news about a bunch of guys coming back on this defense. And Seth, I'm curious to know from you, are you surprised at how many guys are returning now and coming back and making the decision to come back? I think leadership matters, and it looks like at least they've got a good starting point with that heading into, you know, what is going to be spring football here in a couple of months.
No, far be it for me to kind of sound like I'm the total expert and whatever, but I do cover the team. It went on defense the way that I thought it would. I had heard in the lead up to the national championship, maybe even in the playoffs, that Nolan Smith, whether it was for, you know, the draft grade he had gotten or just kind of looking at it and saying, hey, you know, I one more year can really benefit me. You know, he was a third year guy going into his fourth year. So this wasn't like Zamir White, who was a fourth year junior. So you could definitely see him ready to go. Nolan Smith was the one that maybe before the year you said he's going to go pro, but then when he didn't put up the huge sack numbers, you said, okay, you know, he'll come back. But then you looked at the other guys, Christopher Smith, Robert Beal, William Poole, they all benefit by coming back another year. None of them was a sure thing to be drafted at all. Christopher Smith, probably the closest having a chance, and maybe Robert Beal with the way he finished the season, but they definitely benefit from coming back. Look, they're not going to be as good on defense. They're not going to be as dominant next year just because of losing the Jordan Davises and the Kobe Deans and Lewis Seams and whatever, but there's not going to be this huge drop-off. They still got a lot of talent there, and overall as a team, and this is the benefit to circle back to bringing back Stetson Bennett, is you look at their schedule and it sets up a lot like this past year. If you get by Oregon in the opener, and you would think on paper they have a better chance of doing that because Oregon's going through its own transition, the game's in Atlanta, you've got another manageable schedule. The East is just not good. The SEC, I think, soon is going to go away from divisions. But until they do, it benefits Georgia, you know. So right. they won't have as dominant a defense. And on offense, they'll have some questions. But they could still easily go 12-0.
It is Seth Emerson with us, guys, from The Athletic. You read him in The Athletic and know what's going on with the Dogs. And the biggest story yesterday, I thought, aside from obviously Stetson coming back, is Jermaine Burton. And I was just talking to Carl earlier. Yeah. Can Blaylock stay healthy? Obviously, Donnie Mitchell shows signs of being a guy. I mean, is that a reason for concern for Dog fans?
Well, you wanted Burton coming back. I mean, there's no sugarcoating that he's a loss. But the way to avoid it being this huge loss is, you mentioned Blaylock. If Dominic Blaylock and Arian Smith can come back, Arian Smith also dealt with injuries his first 2 years at Georgia. Those are two dynamic receivers. I don't know how much more dynamic Blaylock is after two ACLs, but he was already starting at a very good point of being fast and dynamic. So if he's lost a little bit off his fastball, he might be pretty good. If you can get those guys back and in really good form, then that helps a lot. Those are two guys you basically did not have this year. And you also did not have a healthy Jermaine Burton for a lot of this year either. Kyaris Jackson hasn't said anything. Like last year, he said something about coming back. He hasn't yet. I mean, I assume he didn't turn pro. But you get him back, and then A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, and then the tight ends.
Right.
We're talking about a pretty good group of skill position players, and I still think George is going to end up going in the portal and getting another skill position guy, probably a wide receiver.
Lots to process there from Seth Emerson, talking about the Dogs, Mike. Kind of laying everything out for Dog Nation, you know, when you talk about all the things that are changing, all the things that are staying the same, but there's still work to do, and Kirby's got to go get some guys, as right. You heard him say there at the end.
Yeah, and I think that Seth kind of brought it up. You and I were alluding to it earlier in the show that you're going to get some transfers, man. I mean, as much as I really don't understand the logic at some point. Maybe Jermaine Burton will talk about what his logic was for leaving the program, where he could be a featured wide receiver.
Yeah.
Unless he knows something we don't know. But the idea that, Adonai Mitchell will step up. Blaylock at this point, Carl, anything you get from him is gravy. Then Arik Gilbert. The fact that you got Gilbert and you got Brock Bowers, think about that lethal combination at tight end. That's, I mean, you want to talk about mismatches with good wide receiver play and the next crop of running backs? That's going to be a lot of matchup issues.
They might have the two best tight ends in the country, Mike.
Seriously.
Bowers with his explosiveness.
I mean, Gilbert was a huge thing before. You know, he had to, you know, get out of, right. get his head right and all everything else. But that's huge. But then again, we'll just wait and see, and maybe Georgia's going to find themselves a 4-star, 5-star in the transfer portal at wide receiver.
We've got more to get to. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We got to get to tonight's game winner, but Mike and I were talking about this. It's been a busy day.
Yeah.
We haven't had a chance to mention a couple of things that happened today, including the passing of a very good comic, man.
Yeah, man. Louis Anderson passed away. Lately, he was doing that show on FX with Zach Galifianakis called Baskets, but Louis Anderson... probably for a lot of our listeners, better known as one of the McDonald's employees at McDowell's
right.
coming to America. And
do you know the backstory behind that? Eddie Murphy wants to make Coming to America.
The studio says he's going to have a white comic in it?
That's they have to. He had to have a white guy in it. Because at the time, right. it was going to be an all-black cast. You got to
right.
go back. This is 88.
Right.
And the studio says you got to have a white guy in here in this movie.
Right.
And he cast...
Louis Anderson.
As the guy in McDowell's.
And Louis Anderson did Hollywood Squares. But he was famous. One of his best jokes was he'd come out on stage, Carl. He goes, I'm sorry that I'm perspiring, but if I don't sweat, I'll explode. Because he was kind of a big-sized guy. So Louis Anderson passed away. And then taking it back to my childhood when I was 10 years old, a record that everybody in my neighborhood had, Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell. Meatloaf was 74. Unfortunately, he was one of those guys that literally died on that hill. He was very very vocal as far as anti-vaccine. He died from the effects of complications from COVID.
Yeah.
But just real quick about Meatloaf. There's so many entertainers, Carl, and it could be in any genre. It could be anything from rock and roll to hip-hop. How many times have you been to a concert and you're like, where's the stage presence? Where's the juice? I saw Meatloaf one time in a club in Long Island, 1,500 people. And this is when Carl, he didn't have a record deal. It was 1989. This is before I'll Do Anything for Love, years before that.
Okay.
The guy played for 2.5 hours, did 2 encores, and it was literally, you've seen Meatloaf. Looked like he's going to drop dead at any time. The guy left it all on the stage. He was an unbelievable performer. For other parts of our audience, younger generation, his name is Robert Paulson. He was in Fight Club. He was the dude that had the big droopy mammarian glands from doing too many steroids. That was Meatloaf. But anyway, and he was in Rocky Horror Picture Show. So Meatloaf passed away at age 74.
I love guys who perform that way, like it's their last show. It doesn't matter if there's 30 people in the crowd or if it's 3,000, right? Or 30,000. That there's something to be said about the Prince would do that, man. Prince would
right.
show up at a club.
James Brown.
Absolutely. And, you know, just play for 2.5-3 hours, and people were like, I can't believe I'm getting this. So, yeah, Meatloaf passing away, Louis passing away, which gets us to tonight's game winner.
These guys were overweight. So your favorite fat guy is tonight's game winner at 404-741-0929. Your favorite person who's large and in charge. And, again, we're not trying to wish. I was telling Carl, I said, initially I was going to go, well, who's the next fat person who's going to drop dead? But
right.
that'd be mean-spirited. But usually, unfortunately, in celebrities, they tend to come in threes.
This is true.
I hate to say it. You know, it's kind of, isn't that crazy how that always happens?
Yeah, people used to say that, and I never believed it, and then I started paying attention to it.
it kind of does. But yeah, man, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. And by the way, Jim Steinem, the guy that produced the record, is nuts. Played the piano, a tremendous musical genius. But one of the great stories of the Meatloaf Bat Out of Hell record, Carl, in Paradise by the Dashboard Light, they get then Yankee play-by-play legend Phil Rizzuto to do some play-by-play.
Ew.
As the Meatloaf is singing, basically the male character is trying to get to home run.
That's
get
right.
home. It was the first base, second base, as he's trying to, you know, score. And while he's making love to his lady friend in the car, and Phil Rizzuto has no idea that the play-by-play is like that is a metaphor.
It's a funny
for
scene.
That. So, holy cow, I think he's going to make it. Anyway, so there you go, guys. Your favorite large person tonight. That's tonight's game winner, 404-741-0929.
The
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
In honor of Meatloaf and Louis Anderson, we're going to go with your favorite fat person tonight for tonight's game. Where are they? That's when you label someone.
Hey!
But let's just say a larger-than-life person. How about that?
It's fine, Albert! I'm going to sing a song for you. Come on, man. Y'all know that song.
Bill's going to teach us a thing or two.
Come on, now.
We'll have some fun now.
And just think.
With Bill and all the gang.
And just think, it wasn't offensive. Nobody can. It was like, oh, it's Fat Albert.
I can't even do mush mouth now. Somebody will complain.
You can't even do it, man.
Hey, but Fat Albert. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Your favorite large person tonight. What you got?
Hey, man. I got two. One from the old days. That would be Dom DeLuise. And a current guy would be from Blue Bloods, Steve Sciarrippa.
Steve played Ralphie Bacchiara. Bacchiari.
Yes,
that's right.
Sopranos.
Bacchiari. Bobby
Bacchiari. Yeah, Bobby.
The episode where he goes, it's time for you to seriously consider salads. He gets out of the Lincoln in the car. Comes up like 6 inches. Hey, man, you're on the radio. Your favorite large person.
Hey, man. Hey, my favorite is John Candy. He does a movie with my favorite actor of all time. Who is Anthony Quinn. Mike, you may remember this one, but he's a cop in Chicago, and he's browbeaten by his mother, who is, Maureen O'Hara.
Yes.
It's just a fun movie.
Yeah, he's a guy who's...
Who are we talking about?
John Candy.
I'm trying
to remember the actress he falls in love with in that, but the mom is basically just ruining his life.
Yeah, Candyman made some good movies.
He's a funny dude. Everybody said, Dave Archer's got a great story when the Kings were killing it with Wayne Gretzky. And McNall was the owner. And they're up there. I think it was him and Jim McMahon got to meet John Candy. And they said he could not have been nicer. He was talking. Remember Dave from his days in the Canadian Football League?
Sure.
And just said he was a big sweetheart, big lovable dude.
Yeah, I enjoyed John Candy, man. I thought his comedy, again, it's not for everybody, Mike.
The days of the Second City TV.
It's great. Yep.
I swallowed a lot of aggression, along with a lot of pizzas. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for your favorite big guy? Hey, man. Hey, buddy.
And somebody at the bar, by the way, said Luther.
Vandross.
He did lose weight, but he put it back on.
Right. Charles Barkley. You say that to Charles now.
Yeah, Charles, our listeners are talking about you, bro.
Hey, man. Chris, we got any calls? What happened?
Oh, yeah, full bank. Let's go.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for a large person?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, I got
The best one there is, it is Chris Farley. It is still so sad because of what could have been. The guy was hilarious. His movies still, to this day, make me laugh out loud.
Yep,
totally agree.
Anytime I see Down by the River.
Totally agree.
Just love that stuff.
One of my favorite skits is him and Patrick Swayze. Yeah.
Oh, the Chippendales.
Chippendales. It's one of my favorite skits because it's so, he did not care.
Yeah.
It's just great.
Fearless, man. You laugh out loud every time you see that.
Belushi in there as well?
Yeah, no one said Belushi just yet. And, it, you know, some would say that Farley wanted to be Belushi, right?
Yep.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. In honor of Meatloaf and Louie Anderson, your favorite big guy. What you got?
Let me tell you something there, Daddy. Baby doll, similar to Jezebel. My belly may be big, but I can go with the best of them. I am Mr. Stardust himself with the bionic elbow. And, of course, the Dancing Machine rerun. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, Dusty Rhodes, man. And, you know, people love Ric Flair, and I get that. But something about Dusty's natural comedic timing and the fact that he wasn't the perfect chiseled guy.
No, he wasn't.
When I was a kid, I identified with Dusty. I loved, because Dusty was the working man's hero.
Yes.
You know, he was that guy, yeah. You know. Plymouth Thorn from West Texas. I just love that stuff.
No, it was great. The story he laid out and he portrayed made you like Dusty a lot more.
Carl, real quick, because you grew up in San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
Dusty, years ago, my old station doesn't exist, was doing the show with us, and he told the story. I said, what's it like playing high school football in Texas? And he goes, well, one time, it was a night game, and it's a big old, I guess it was an elk or a deer, some big old type of deer, about a 14-pointer. And this thing, it's this big old deer, it's in the end zone, it won't move. So sure enough, the head referee just comes out, he pulls out a 44 and blows the sucker away.
Welcome to Texas.
Welcome to Texas. Hey, man, you're on the radio, buddy. What do you got for your favorite big guy?
Hello?
Hey, man.
Hey, yes, sir. Man. That's you,
Hello.
Bro. Talk to us.
Yes, go. This is where you go. Go, go.
Who's your big guy?
Hey, guys, this is Tim from Gainesville. I got a classic one for you. Back in the 80s, we all grew up watching him. His name was Joe Rubo. He played in Last American Virgin. He was always the large guy that managed to get laid.
He's right. He is right.
You know the one he's talking about, Bo?
He is right.
Go on IMDb and look it up.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. What do you got for us? Your favorite big guy? Hey,
hey man.
We're live at Twin Peaks, and so are you. But you've got to speak.
Talk to
hey,
us.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I'm going to go with Robin Harris. He's an old school black comedian. It's what the movie Bebe Kids was based off of.
Oh, Bebe's Kids. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Great call, Robin Harris.
Right.
Lost too early as well, man. No doubt.
Hey, right. Man. You're on the radio, bro. He could be alive. Does he be dead? You're on the air. Your favorite big guy.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
All right, I'm going to age myself with this one, but how about Captain Chaos, Dom DeLuise?
Yeah, Dom, for younger audience listeners, Dom DeLuise, who's Burt Reynolds' buddy, was in Cannonball Run. Captain Chaos. Cannonball Run. Dom DeLuise, you can go on YouTube right now. And you can watch, just Google Dom DeLuise on Johnny Carson on Tonight Show. And sometimes Don Rickles will be on there. And you'll laugh your butt off, man. It's timeless. Good answers, man.
Yeah,
good job.
Yeah, it is. That's good stuff.
Mike, I got one for you. Are you familiar with the comedian John Panette?
Yes, the big guy.
He's hysterical.
Good dude, man. We got time for one more, Chris?
Yes, we do.
All right, last chance for romance.
What is it about big guys?
Well, I think because when you are big like that, you've got to be funny and you got to be disarming, right?
Yeah.
And be, you know, the clown. You're crying inside.
Yeah. There's something about it. I'm with you. We relate to those guys. Go ahead.
Hey, man, you're on the radio, bud. What you got? Hello?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, how about Bubba Bexley from Sanford and Son? You big dummy.
He was a big dude.
That's
a good pull. That's a good pull.
Yeah.
Nobody said rerun.
No, rerun.
Rerun could move, too, by the way.
No, that's a good one. Yeah, he could dance.
Right? He could do it.
What's happening?
Was it Fred Berry?
Fred Berry, yeah.
Yeah, good pull.
He passed away. What about the Fat Boys? I'm just saying.
Right.
They want comedy, though. They want comedy.
They love you.
What about the Fat Boys? The Fat Boys are back. And you know they could never be whack. All right. Great job, guys.
Nobody said Ruben Stoddard.
There's a lot of them, man. There's a lot of them. Hey, tonight's show is protected by Mimecast. Our email of the day, protected by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and the risk of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. That's Mimecast.com. In regards to our Hawks who play tonight, this came from Jeff earlier today. Jeff was saying, guys, I just want the Hawks to win. Dukes, you're overreacting. I just want to see us win, even if we are down. Maybe showing a little fight will be good for us down the road and knowing that this team can come back from big deficits. I'm not looking at it the way you are. I'm not as worried. The other night was impressive. I just hope tonight we win again. Jeff, thanks again. Hawks Heat coming up. We'll get you ready for it. We'll clear our throats when we come back live at Twin.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.